Okay, let's get cracking. Today's a very exciting day as we finish off Meseches Shabbos with Perek Chav Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, and Perek Chav Dalet, Mishnah Hey. The previous bunch of Mishnahs have been discussing the notion and the idea of feeding animals on Shabbos, and the basic premise was that if the animal's relying on you for food, if the food that you have is a ro'i l'achilas animal, if ro'i l'achilas behema, that if it's fit to be consumed and eaten by an animal, and the animal needs it to eat, then certainly you can prepare it on Shabbos. It's not considered to be exerting yourself more than you're supposed to on Shabbos. Now, there's also a question that we're going to be discussing here in Perek Chav Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, of whether certain foods may be fed to an animal on Shabbos if they were not necessarily designated, prepared as animal food before Shabbos. As we're going to see, this question actually involves a more far-reaching machlokas, far-reaching discussion between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda that we have learned a few times already when it comes to the prohibition of muktza on Shabbos. Now, specifically, the Mishnah is going to discuss the muktza status of food items that are normally meant to be consumed, to be eaten by human beings, but were not actually ready for use by human beings. Says the Mishnah, Mechatchin es hadluim lifnei habehema. You're allowed to cut up raw gourds on Shabbos for an animal to eat, because they're not muktzah. Gourds are normally eaten by human beings and not animals, and since they must be cooked in order to be eaten, raw gourds are not prepared for their normal use on Shabbos. However, the raw gourds are not muktzah because they can still be eaten by animals. Continuing in the Mishnah, v'yas hanavela lifnei haklavim. And you're also allowed to cut up an animal that died on Shabbos for dogs to eat. Again, that's not muktzah as well, even though the normal use for a live animal is to be shechted and eaten by people. But since the slaughtering is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, the animal was not prepared for its typical use when Shabbos began. Nevertheless, the dead animal is not considered to be muktzah because it could still be eaten by dogs and could be used as dog food. Therefore, it's not considered to be muktzah. However, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, Im lo haysa nevela meir of Shabbos asura. If it was not already dead before Shabbos, if the animal died on Shabbos, then says Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to cut it up on Shabbos, and you can't feed it to your animal on Shabbos, lefi she'ena min hamuchan. Because, says Rabbi Yehuda, it is not something that was prepared to be eaten by the dogs from before Shabbos, and therefore, according to him, it is muktzah. That according to Rabbi Yehuda, an item is considered prepared only if it was fit to be used for its ordinary purpose when Shabbos began. The ordinary use and the typical use of a living animal is to be shechted and eaten by people, not dogs. And since this animal was alive when Shabbos began, and it could not be shechted on Shabbos, it was not considered prepared, and therefore even when it dies on Shabbos and is now fit only for animals, it is not considered to be prepared, and it is therefore considered to be muktzah. And we should just point out that, as the Bar Tanura points out, ve'ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, namely we hold that as long as it is still able to be used on Shabbos for a purpose, even if it's a secondary purpose, then certainly you can use it for that purpose. You can feed the dead animal to dogs, even though it wasn't dead from before Shabbos. You can give the raw gourd to your animals as well. It's not royal achilas behema, but it's not royal achilas adma. Person can't eat raw gourd, but because it's raw on Shabbos and if it is fit to be eaten by animals, you may certainly give it to your animal. Continuing now with Perek Chav Dalet, Mishnah. Hey, as we finish off Maseches Shabbos, says the Mishnah, Mefirin Nedarim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to do Hataras Nedarim. You're allowed to annul vows on Shabbos. What does that mean? So a husband, says the Mishnah, may get rid of his wife's vows, and a father may get rid of his daughter's vows. Now, a man, generally speaking, may annul his wife's or daughter's vows only on the day that he hears of it. Therefore, if he hears of the vow that the daughter or wife took on Shabbos, he can annul it only on Shabbos itself until Shkia, until sunset. Therefore, because you only have a day's time limit for him to be able to annul and get rid of the vow, the Chachamim allowed Hataras Nedarim, getting rid of the vows, on Shabbos, even if the vows do not prohibit anything necessarily involved with Shabbos itself. Since after Shabbos they can no longer get rid of the vow, annulling it on Shabbos is not considered an unnecessary level of tircha, an unnecessary action. However, says the Mishnah, there's also another type of ataras nedarim, one that we perhaps were familiar with, not where a father or a husband is annulling the vow, but where you have a beis din or a mumcha, an expert annulling a vow. And when it comes to that type of hatar, that kind of annulment, there's really no time limit, and therefore v'nishal l'dvarim shehen l'tzorach b'shabbos, you're allowed to ask an expert or a beis din of three irregular people. Again, I'm sure many of us are used to that during the Rosh Hashanah and Kippur time, where we have three people do hataras and get rid of the vows. There's no time limit; it can be done at any point. And therefore, because there's no time limit, says the Mishnah, you're allowed to ask an expert or either a mumcha, a bakib, or a beis din of three people to do hataras nedarim only when the things that are being that the nether was against has to do with Shabbos itself. So the person makes a nether that I'm not going to eat from chicken, and now there's chicken on Shabbos, so you can do the hataras nedarim on Shabbos itself. It's necessary for Shabbos itself. However, hataras nedarim for anything else cannot be done on Shabbos because you can do it after Shabbos. There's no time limit like there is by a husband or a father. And because there's no time limit, therefore you should wait until after Shabbos to do it. Unless, of course, it is time sensitive and it has to do with something related to Shabbos itself. Continuing in the Mishnah, Pokekin, as Tamor, you're allowed to temporarily close and shutter off a window on Shabbos with a board that is not attached to it. After all, since the board is being added only temporarily to the structure, it does not seem to be like the Malacha of Bona. Continuing in the Mishnah, Modedin es hamatlis, and you're allowed to measure a rag in order to see whether it is large enough to transmit Tumah. The halacha is that a cloth of wool or linen can't become Tameh or transmit Tumah unless it measures at least 3x3 etzbaos. That's the amount that is considered to be a bega, the 3x3 etzbaos. Now, as the Tosfos Yontif points out, in this particular case, there's a rag of more than 3x3 etzbaos that became Tameh. It was then reduced in size, and after becoming smaller, it came into contact with Tahoros, with food that must be kept tahor. So the rag must therefore be measured to determine whether it still measures by the 3x3 etzbaos or not, in which case it transmitted tumah to the tahoros, or the question is not whether its reduction left it with less than these measurements, in which case it would not transmit tumah to the taharos. Now the Mishnah, continuing in the Mishnah, v'es hamikveh, and you're allowed to measure a mikveh to determine whether it is fit to be used as a mikvah on Shabbos. A mikvah needs to contain 40 sa of water in order for it to be kosher, and you have to make sure, so says the Mishnah, you're allowed to measure it as well. Why? Because even though normally you're not allowed to do measuring on Shabbos, it might lead you to do business and writing and so on and so forth, you can't normally measure things on Shabbos. However, when it comes to a mikvah, the rabbi says you can, because it's l'tzorach mitzvah. There's a purpose behind what you're doing. There's a purpose behind the measuring that's taking place, and therefore you're allowed to do it l'tzorach mitzvah, for the purpose of a mitzvah on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah is going to conclude the Masechta with a story that is going to prove the above two halachos. It says the Mishnah, there was a story in the days of Rabbi Tzadok's father and Abba Shaul ben Batnas, and basically this is what happened. You need a little bit of a background, as the Bartanura points out, in order to understand exactly what's going on here. So first of all, there were two houses with a narrow alley that was between them. That's typically how the houses were built. Their two roofs were connected by a barrel that reached over the alley from one house to the other. Now in one of these houses, there was a man who was a shchiv meirah. There was a man who was ready to pass away. He was on his deathbed. And as a result, the residents of the second house were worried that when he would pass away, the tumah would spread from his house through a window of his house into the alley, and from there through a window into their house as well. So they didn't want to become tumah. So what did they do? Shepakgu es ha'maor b'tafiach. In order to prevent the tumah from entering their house, they basically shuttered the window in their house, and that faced the alley with a kli cheres, with an earthenware vessel. The halacha is that only an object that is immune to tumah can block it from traveling through a pesach, through an opening. Therefore, they used an earthenware container and faced the bottom of the container toward the alley. The container was therefore able to stop the tumah from spreading into the second house, since the outside of a kli charis, of an earthenware container, as the Bar Tanura points out, is unaffected, is unfazed by tumah. So this is what they did. However, this might not have been totally necessary because the barrel that connected the two roofs had a gap. They weren't sure exactly how big that gap was. Now, if that gap was larger than a tefach, then the tumah would be unable to travel past the gap. Therefore, after plugging the window, the people of this house, what did they do? They tried to check the size of the gap to see if they could safely remove the Kli Cheres container from their window. So what do? They kosher es ha-mekeda begemi. They measured a Kli Cheres to see that its width was exactly a tefach wide. And then they tied it to a stick with a strand of grass. And they basically threw it up to see if the kli would fit through the gap in the barrel. This would help them determine whether or not the gap in the barrel that was over the alley was a tefach wide or not. So this is what they did. This is the whole story in this particular situation. But the point is, says the Mishnah, Umidivrayim, from this story, what did we learn? Lamadnu shepokakin umotadin v'koshrin b'shabbos. You learn three things from this Mishnah. Number one, that you're allowed to temporarily shutter a window as they did with the earthenware container in the window of the second house. Number two, that you're allowed to measure in order to determine the legal status of something, just like they did with this tefach wide kli. So as long as there's some mitzvah involved, you're allowed to do that. And number three, you're allowed to tie a temporary knot as well on Shabbos, which they did with the grass as well. So those are the three things that we learned from our Mishnah. Hadron Aloch, Maseches, Shabbos, the Hadron Aloch. Okay, quick review. Perek Chav Dalet, Mishnah Dalet told us a bunch of things. Number one, we said that you're allowed to, the basic question was whether something that is usable for its secondary purpose on Shabbos is allowed to be used as animal food on Shabbos, even if it's something that's normally meant for human beings and its status wasn't around before Shabbos, can it be used on Shabbos itself? So that we saw that was a machlokas in our Mishnah. The first opinion in our Mishnah said that you're allowed to cut up roe gourds on Shabbos for animals. You're allowed to cut up a dead animal, an animal that died on Shabbos, for your animal as well. Even though this status didn't necessarily exist before Shabbos, at the end of the day, you're allowed to feed it to your animal now because it serves a purpose for you on Shabbos. Rabbi Huda disagrees and says, no, that if it wasn't cut up before Shabbos, if the nevela, for example, the dead animal, didn't exist as a dead animal before Shabbos, so its main purpose was to be fed to a human being. It's a nevela, you can't feed it to a human being, but you certainly can't feed it to an animal as well, to an animal as well. And that is not how we pass. We pass on like the first opinion against Rabbi Yehuda, namely, that as long as it can be used now to feed an animal, you're allowed to use it for that purpose on Shabbos. And then Perek Chav Dalet, Mishnah Hey taught us that when it comes to a husband or a father annulling the vows, so that can be done on Shabbos because there's a day time limit for him to do that. However, when it comes to going to a Beis Din or to a Mumcha, to an expert to annul a vow, that can only be done on Shabbos if it's relevant, if the nether itself, if the vow itself was relevant to Shabbos itself. Otherwise, you can wait until after Shabbos because at Taras and Darim, there's no time limit for it, unlike a father or a husband. And then the Mishnah taught us three halachos, but we have a story, said that you're allowed to shutter a window on Shabbos, that is in a temporary type of way. You can measure either a rag for tumah purposes, you can measure a mikvah for a mikvah's purposes as well. Again, anytime that there's a mitzvah involved, you're allowed to do a measurement on Shabbos. And again, there's a story the Mishnah concluded with that taught us three things. Number one, that you can shutter a window on Shabbos in a temporary type of a way. Number two, you're allowed to measure something if there's a Torah mitzvah and a mitzvah involved. And number three, you can tie a temporary, non-permanent knot on Shabbos. Have a great day.